Time now for Radio Theater, Theater on the Radio. And Anne Gumford joins us this morning from the Lyric Opera of the North. And Anne says, I'm not a performer. I'm a behind-the-scenes person. And that's why we want to talk to you, Anne. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So you're a set designer. Does a person, I suppose a person can go to school to become a set designer? Is that what you did, or did you stumble into it?
I get that question a lot, actually. I have a Master of Fine Arts degree, which is a terminal degree in my field, in set design, of all things, which I didn't know was a thing until I was halfway through college. And I started doing some theater, and I got interested. I'd always been an artist and was kind of studying studio art, but I found it a little bit lonely and a little bit boring, and I really loved working with a group and doing collaborative work. So I just found my feet in theater, and then I found out you could do that for a living. Who knew?
You know, actors frequently have to study, at some point, set design, and they have to design a set. And man, once you get started figuring in all the picky little things, the creativity is out, I mean, the window. You've got a, you know, you've designed basically a rectangle with, you know, a couch or something in it. I just found set design in my, you know, tiny little beginner courses to be so utterly intimidating. Now, let me ask you a little bit about opera, because there are, at least the popular operas, there are, you know, maybe a handful or maybe two handfuls of operas. And the music is iconic. The fans can hum it and sing it, and perhaps they can sing all the different parts. And they're used to the characters looking and being a certain way. Are they also used to the sets? Are the sets iconic,
you know,
in
it's,
a sense, too?
It's interesting. As a theater person who did mostly theater, I've done a little opera before I started working with Lyric Opera of the North. But now that I'm working with Lyric Opera of the North, one of the questions I ask right off the bat is, what's iconic about this opera in particular? Because there are certain places where there's a tradition that's been set for years, and the director may or may not be using that tradition. Lyric Opera of the North is a little bit scampy. We kind of do things in a different way sometimes, outside the box. So I always ask that question now because the people sitting around the table at the collaborative production meetings are opera people, and they're in that world, and they all know the traditions.
She has to throw herself off a parapet, so there's got to be a parapet somewhere
for her to
fling herself off of. Okay.
But one of the questions that I ask directors a lot right at the beginning is, you know, do we need walls? Do we need doors for this? Do we need, for instance, a parapet? Or are we looking at a different way of doing this? And so our creativity comes into play, and we can make choices. Every single production is different, even if, as in opera, there's a really long-standing tradition. So,
but you have the flexibility, or at least with the production designers, to decide which of those
iconic elements
you'll include.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you talk about all the picky little details, that's certainly true. I wear a lot of different hats. I'm an artist and a creative thinker, very outside the box. We have to really dream big. But then we also have to look at, oh, we're doing this particular production at Lincoln Middle School, and the flies only go up a few feet, and there's no backstage, and the audience can't see over the orchestra pit if we put them in the regular spot. So there's a lot of practical concerns. So at some point, I switch hats back and forth between being a very technical thinker and an artistic thinker.
So you have to go, perhaps, and scout out the venue if you're not familiar with it and get an idea of what you're going to have to work with here.
I try.
And what you
don't. Every once in a while, I've had to design from afar, and it's never that comfortable for me. I like to go and be in the space just at least once. That's what I did a couple summers ago. We designed for Skylark Opera in the cities, and I had only been to the venue one time, so I was kind of guessing at a lot of the things from the plans. We all communicate by plans. We have a lot of technical drawings, and so we use those. Some of Lyric Opera of the North's venues are really standard and very easy to work with, and some of ours have been kind of catch-as-catch-can a little bit.
Do you think you have kind of a special brain? Because, again, it's the same thing I mentioned that tripped me up completely, you know, taking my very first class and as a freshman in college, with the attention to all of the technical details and what does this measure and how does this work. And usually people's brains work well with those little details, and then they're not very creative, or they've got this wild woo creative brain, but they're not really grounded in the details. So does that mean you have a special brain?
I don't know if it's special, but I'll tell you, when my sister and I were little, that is just about all we did, was make little theater sets and environments and paper dolls, and we created all kinds of popsicle stick dancers that would go in and out of our box that was the Sleeping Beauty ballet set. So my mother thought this was completely normal, but now I find out that it's probably not every kid that does that with every second of spare time that they have growing up.
But you grew up to do the thing that you loved and that gave you joy as a child.
Isn't that funny? I didn't even know it was a thing, and here I am doing it. So
it's amazing, the things that are things.
I'm pretty lucky that way, yeah.
No kidding. Yeah. Talk to me just briefly about, I wanted to ask you one final question. Operas, I'm sure, can be done in a minimalist style where you take an antique opera and you put it in modern day and you dress your characters in modern day clothing. But many times they are wearing period costumes, which, especially in the case of the women, are just huge.
Yes.
What kinds of accommodations do you need to make for
costumes? Oh, this is very important. We have the most wonderful costume designer at Lyric Opera of the North. It's Aura Jewel Bushy, who's a Duluthian but now lives in L.A., and she and I kind of mind meld over these designs. We love working together, and I have to ask questions like, what are the heels on the women like, in order to know if I can do a certain kind of stare. We need to know how wide the dresses are, like you said, and how tall the hats are, so I can make sure that any openings in the set, doorways, arches, or other kinds of openings can accommodate that. I even need to know sometimes how tall is this character that needs to get behind this thing and look out this little window like we did in Barber of Seville. So all those things, those are kind of fun for me to figure out. I sort of like tweaking a few inches here and there and making sure that those things can get accommodated. But it is a lot to think about. And I think a lot of it comes with experience of having, you know, maybe a set that we put fire escape stairs on, and then the girls are in spike heels. Doesn't really work. So
some of those things you kind of got to live and learn. You make the mistake once and you say, well, I will not make that
mistake again. Yeah.
And how fascinating. We could sit and talk with you all morning, but we got to let you go. Thanks so much for coming in this morning. Fun to talk with you.
You're so welcome. Thanks for asking.
Scenic designer Ann Gumpher, our guest this morning. She works with the Lyric Opera of the North, and she joined us to talk about theater on the radio. Radio theater this morning here on 103.3 KUMD. Funding for radio theater made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.